And now, you're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Reveler Sports.
Hello, everyone out there in Tampa Bay and beyond. This is James Knowles coming at you for the RBLR Sports Podcast, and I am here without my usual co-host, Carlos. He is actually in Ecuador enjoying, I guess, a rather balmy Christmas week, I would assume, or a lead up to that. Now, we are obviously talking about Christmas. I do want to say, obviously, happy holidays in general. I know Hanukkah is, well, I honestly don't know when that is. And I don't know when Kwanzaa is either, if I'm being perfectly straight with everyone listening. But I'm hoping that we have listeners who practice all of those and, you know, are listening and hopefully celebrating those with us, because that means obviously we have a good listenership. But just for the sake of keeping it simple, I will say Merry Christmas to everyone here. And we're going to be doing our Christmas wish list, so keep an eye out for that. In the meantime, this week, we do have a very good interview coming up. So that is actually what we're going to be focusing on for this week in particular, in the build-up to the actual Christmas wish list that we have coming up here. So yeah, tune into that one, obviously. Beforehand, we do have a couple bits of news to cover that I wanted to get to and make sure that we included those in the week that was. Now, the Rowdies announced for the 2024 season, Phil Breno will be returning. That means we do have at least one goalkeeper on the roster, folks. Yes, we have one goalkeeper on the roster for us in 2024. And with that in mind, we're hopeful, obviously, that Connor Sparrow will return, because he was the other player who was possibly going to be back for the next year, at least in terms of the playing in, or the negotiations ongoing, I should say, from the Rowdies. That was part of their press release. The negotiations were ongoing for Sparrow, Breno, and Jan Ekra. So we assume at this point that if one has come back, hopefully the other two as well. And once those are actually announced, obviously we will have a bit more news to cover for the Rowdies roster. In the meantime, Phil Breno returning is good news, because we do have a goalkeeper, like I said. But in addition to that, I think it's a very good goalkeeper. We've gone over this before, so I won't belabor the point. But yeah, he is, you know, a little bit of a legend in his own right, just because of the couple games that he did play when they came into the schedule and the importance they had. It was all very good. And the story that came with it, because I do remember that there was a lot of emotion around his succeeding in those moments and saving a penalty that kept us in very late in the game. So yeah, very good to have Phil Breno back for the next season. The next bit of news I wanted to cover goes a little bit into the interview that we were doing, because we spoke with a Rowdies true legend, and I will continue to hint at it without giving it away just yet, unless you have seen who it is based on the release that RBLR puts out about it. Now, this interview, we talked to a coach, a current coach, and that leads us into this little bit of news for the Rowdies, where the Rowdies are hosting the Losi Capital Champions League Finals, a tournament that features the top high school teams throughout the Tampa Bay region. So yeah, at Al Lang Stadium, they're actually going to be hosting the boys and girls divisions of this Champions League presented by the Tampa Bay Top 10. And yeah, it's really cool, because they are going to offer a bunch of teams the ability to play in a tournament setting at Al Lang, which is obviously a very cool venue, whether or not you are a professional player. And it's supposed to be a tournament that is free to play and highlights all the best soccer teams from the region. They don't have to be in this division or that division. As far as I'm aware, it is just based on merit. And yeah, that's really cool. It is extended to Hillsborough, Pasco, and Pinellas counties, and the teams are going to be split into groups of four on a blind draw, and then all of the tournament will go through this division, this weekend. But yeah, it will be divided up like that, and then each group will be set off into single elimination from the semifinal, obviously, to the final. And if you would like that, please obviously go to the Rowdies website. You can attend, I believe, for general admission being $5 there. It does sound like a pretty cool weekend to spend in, I think, well, I guess we'll see about the weather. I was going to say it's nicer out because it's not quite so hot, but then I just remembered that there was supposed to be maybe some rain on Saturday. So I guess we will see actually how it turns out. Regardless, in the meantime, good luck to everyone involved, and we obviously hope that it goes well. Now, to stop hinting at this interview because we have danced around it enough here. I will say that we got on a big, big, big hit this week, and that is Georgie Hristov. If you do not know Georgie Hristov, then you must be a very recent Rowdies convert, and welcome to the fan group, obviously. But yes, he is a true legend at this club, the guy who held the Rowdy scoring record up until very recently. And he was with the Rowdies. I think he still has the Rowdies overall appearances record. So yeah, he's got a wealth of knowledge, obviously, about growing up in Eastern Europe and, you know, kind of what it was like growing up in terms of playing soccer over there. That's something that we got into as opposed to, you know, what it was like under different governments or whatnot. But beforehand, I just want to say the RBLR Lightning podcast has teamed up with our friends at the Bolt Report to raise money for a great cause. Now, over at the shop, we've got an ugly sweater themed shirt that will look great on you or anyone around you if you do want to get gifts. And this will do good because all of our profits on this shirt will go to Toys for Tots. There will be a link in the description for this episode. Please do check that out. And we are also giving a few away. So if you want to, visit RBLR Lightning on Twitter for more details where you might be able to gather a shirt for yourself or others, possibly even for free. And like I said, all profits go to Toys for Tots. Who doesn't want to help them out? All right, everyone. And now we have our esteemed guest join us this week. It is Georgie Hristov from the past and also from the present, because we are going to talk about what you are up to now, Georgie. So thank you so much for joining us. And how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, guys. I want to thank you as well for the invitation. Really appreciate it. I think it's amazing what you guys do, you know, showing people what's going on in the Tampa Bay sports community. So it's amazing what you guys have been doing. So great stuff.
Thank you. That is our goal, obviously, and that is high praise coming from you. So, yeah, well, Georgie, we wanted to get into this interview and, like I said, discuss what is going on in your life right now. But I am assuming at some point we hope that we will have some brand new fans to the Tampa Bay Rowdies, like even just from 2023, and hopefully they're listening to this too. So if anyone is unaware of who you are, we would also like to give them a good background to, you know, your playing career and everything that led up to the moment that we are interviewing now. So what is, if you could give us, you know, that playing career that you started off in Bulgaria, obviously, and then if you could lead into how you actually came to join the Tampa Bay Rowdies in the first place.
Sure. So I was born in Bulgaria in 1985 in a city called Plovdiv. This one of the oldest cities in the world. I think it's in top three in Europe. Beautiful city, which I miss every day. And then I moved later on to a smaller town in the mountains. This is where I started playing soccer. I actually started playing soccer late. Probably I was 11 years old when I got into like a soccer club. Obviously back home, as you know, in Europe and South America, the kids play a lot of soccer on the streets. You can call it futsal, you can call it street soccer, whatever. So I was playing by that time a lot on the streets with my friends. So I started playing, I think it was fifth grade, maybe 10, 11 years old. And then at 14, I moved back to Plovdiv, where I was born, which is the second biggest city in Bulgaria. So where I joined one of the best academies over there at 14. And then at 17, I signed my first contract. I was 17 years old. With the club that I, you know, played the first team, Maritsa Plovdiv, and the summer of I was goal scorer the second division in Bulgaria. Then I joined the first division club straight away. I became goal scorer of the first division Bulgarian league, and then I joined the biggest club in Bulgaria in 2008, which is Levski Sofia, where we won the league that first year. So a lot of things happened within the range of 3 or 4 years that actually, you know, was not easy for me too, because, you know, with this speed, you start thinking that, wow, you know, it's a lot of responsibility to bear as well. Where I was able to manage it well or not, you know, that's a lot of the more important stuff of being a professional soccer is mental, right? So I think I did okay. Then my career, after I became a champion, that next season 2009 didn't go very well. I went on loan 2010 in Poland a little bit. Came back to Bulgaria. I played for three more years in big clubs in Bulgaria, but was not in Levski anymore. And then in 2013, I joined the Rallies, where I played for six seasons.
Gotcha. And yeah, so obviously that is where you kind of take up the mantle in the Tampa Bay area, which obviously that is how we come into any type of conversation here, because we are Tampa Bay fans and Tampa Bay Rowdies fans specifically. But yeah, how did you get in touch with the Rowdies originally? And then, you know, I guess my quick question for the Rowdies before I turn it over to Carlos is just, you know, had you heard anything about the Tampa Bay Rowdies or the Tampa Bay region even before you came here? And, you know, what was your general idea of it?
I've heard the Tampa Bay Rowdies through my cousins, because my cousins, they've been living in St. Petersburg since 2000 and I think 2005 or four. So I've heard a lot about it. But when I was in my peak in my career back home in Bulgaria, you know, we always joked that maybe one day, you know, it's crazy how things work out later on, but I never thought I was going to come and play here. But we were actually joking that, hey, he was like, maybe one day you come back and live and play for the Tampa Bay Rallies. I think the Tampa Bay Rallies came back 2009 or 10 maybe. So before that, they haven't really told me about Tampa Bay Rallies, but I knew about Tampa Bay, right? St. Petersburg, Tampa and everything. But when the Rallies came back, this is when those jokes, just to clarify, started around 2010, 11. So I actually was on trial. I was on trial with Philadelphia Union. This is how everything happened. So I came, they were interested. I went on preseason with them in early February in Orlando. John Hackley was the coach. He really wanted me. I didn't have the green card yet, so they already had eight, foreigners, right? Mm-hmm. Eight foreigners in the... is that how it... Yeah. For you to not be considered a foreigner, you have to have a green card. So they had already eight spots taken. Yeah. So he explained to me, I want you in the team. Maybe you can, you know, maybe you can come and train in Philadelphia, but, you know, at this point, we can't sign you. So John Hackert reached out to Perry Vanderbeck, who was back then the president of the Rowdies, for me to join the Rowdies. So my real goal was really to play in MLS, and only option for me, because, you know, I came from a good clubs, good leagues, and I thought I would take this position with the Tampa Bay Rowdies. Just temporary, right? In the beginning, hoping that I'm going to join MLS Cup maybe later that year. But things work out very good. I start playing very well straight away. I won the MVP award that first year, as you know, 2013, which was pretty prestigious. You know, best player in the second tier of,
absolutely,
in America. You know, I knew I was going to perform well, but I really didn't know how I can really get that far straight away from the first year. And I love the club, the city. And then I had a few offers late that year, 2013, after the season. But then Bill Edwards bought the club early 2014. And then there's completely different future now for the club, for mm-hmm. everybody, right? There was all the goals for MLS, and I was told, which is true, that they were going to build a team around me, and I was going to be I don't want to say it this way, but you know, the star of the club, and they were going to build this amazing team where we were going to join MLS. So that's how I decided to stay. And there's no regrets they didn't go to MLS, because, you know, the Rallies became, and always was, but, you know, a club that everybody wants to play. You know, if you ask any player where they want to play, especially in USL, everybody wants to play Tampa Bay Rowdies. It's probably one of the most successful franchises in this league. It's a beautiful city, you know, the weather and everything. So this is how things work out. And then I stopped playing January 2019.
Gotcha.
Yeah. No, that's some really interesting insight too, because I guess something I wasn't aware of was that we have Philadelphia Union to thank in part for connecting us with you. So thank you.
Philadelphia Union, they had a part. Yeah. They also, when I had interest from other clubs, which is a rule that I don't like. It's an MLS rule, I guess. It's called discovery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Is it called discovery rule or something?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
So they just put it on you as if you agreed on it.
Yeah.
So the other clubs that were interested in me after that first season with the Rowdies, they actually had to reach out to Philadelphia.
Right.
For, you know, for an agreement or something, right? So which didn't make sense. Anyways, it didn't happen, so I stayed here anyways. But that's... You know, Jonah Hackworth was pretty much, played the main role. I joined the Rowdies, and he was the one who called Perry Vanderbeck, who was at that time the president. So, and I stayed a very good friend with John Hackworth throughout those years. So, but never played for him. So,
right.
So, yeah. We thought we would get together at one point. It just didn't work. But we played against each other later on because he was in Louisville. Mm, he was doing an amazing job there. So
awesome. Well, I wanted to ask you about that early part of your career with the Rowdies, because as you know, just in your time with the Rowdies, let's say 2013 to 2019, the club changed a lot, right? I mean, facilities wise, kind of just the stadium and kind of even just the reputation of the club as a whole in your time with the Rowdies, I felt like changed pretty significantly. And I'm kind of curious how, like, well, I guess you answered in part, but how was it like seeing that transition happen during your career with the Rowdies? Because if I'm not mistaken, in that early part, 2013, training was still happening over at the Schimberg Complex in Tampa in some part, right? And things like that, I think, must have been really interesting to kind of see change during your time as a player.
That transition was really what I saw it happening was the main part why I decided to stay, because it really became like a high-level, top professional club with everything that changed. You know, Schimberg was not that bad, actually. You know, it was for training, right? Listen, the way I grew up, you can always find ways to complain about things, right? To me, I go on that field and I have to make sure I'm going to be the best every training. And that's how it was with Schimberg as well. The grass, I don't know, I remember it wasn't too bad, right? That's all I care for training, you know, but then things really, really changed. I had multiple players, MLS players that, Marcelo Zaragoza, and I can't remember some of the other players that have been in MLS environment. Most of them said that we had one of the best facilities even compared to some of the MLS clubs. You know, of course, not all of them. Some of the MLS facilities, especially nowadays, are insane. But we had it amazing. You know what Buehlers did for the club, for the players. He delivered to us that, you know, you guys gonna have all the best stuff taken care of to any little detail for you just to think about performing on the field. You know. And I would mention the financial part too. This is important, right? We were getting paid very well, and we were appreciative about it because, again, the professionalism was it was next level, you know. So I still think it is, right? I've been going to games, but it's not, you know, it's different. Now I'm not inside the club, but things really changed 2014. I'm talking about a matter of few months, you know, 2 or 3 months, everything completely changed. Mm-hmm. We started training at the right in downtown St. Petersburg, right next to the USF camp over there. We had this field, and we'll train sometimes on the stadium as well. But obviously the stadium view was unbelievable. The locker rooms huge. We had the table tennis playing, insane stereo music blasting all the time. The gym, it was, you know, it's amazing. I think players nowadays, the players that play for the Rowdies, they know what I'm talking about. They really appreciate that, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's awesome insight. I appreciate that. I think it's kind of something that a lot of people take for granted, that transition from 2013, 2014, that time. Something I don't think we hear a lot about as fans, but I appreciate the insight of the player for that. And then I think before we move on to kind of getting into what you've been working on today, post your playing career in the Tampa Bay area, I'm just curious because obviously you played many a season with the Tampa Bay Rowdies from 2013 to 2019, 56 goals in that time. And I'm just curious, as a player, is there one goal that sticks out to you or one game that sticks out to you as a game that you think about a lot, one performance that you'll remember for the rest of your life?
So first of all, I scored 60 goals, not 56 for the Rowdies. Yeah, that's okay.
There you go. The Wikipedia is wrong.
Updated probably.
It's okay. You update that, yeah.
But it's 60. Yeah, so I'm joking. Maybe that's the goal against Seattle 2013, because MLS, you know, beating MLS team, it was my first year. The whole season was just going all so well for me. I think I scored 5 goals in 1 week that week. So it was like Saturday, Wednesday, Saturday games. And on Wednesday was the game against Seattle. And it was huge. The stadium was just absolutely packed. There was not even one seat. It was really, really just the perfect scenario, everything, you know. Then Diego Restrepo saved the PK towards the end of the game. So we won the game 1-0. Not a super fancy goal, but, you know, I think it was open goal. But the importance of it, right, for getting this passion and inspiration for the local soccer fans, was good. You know, I won't forget that game, right? But that's, you know, if you think about me straight away, world goal, I think it's this one. You know, I scored, you know, some really beautiful goals for the Rowdies, in some important 90 minute goals for 3-2 against, I think it was Silverbacks, but I don't know. I think it's this goal, you know, beating an MLS, actually very successful MLS team.
Yeah.
During that time, was with some serious players, coach and everything, was massive. So, yep.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I think James and I have been craving another big moment like that in the Open Cup, which to this day hasn't really come since then. But
it will come.
It's coming soon again.
Yep.
James, over to you. You got anything?
Yeah, well, so I appreciate you taking us through all that much detail about your playing career, because that definitely does clear it up for anyone who is unaware of just the legend that I would say is attached to your name at the Tampa Bay Rowdies organization, and probably also back in a couple spots in Bulgaria too. But with that in mind, so obviously you said that you stepped away from the game in January of 2019. And naturally, that doesn't mean that you stepped away from the game entirely, but just maybe the professional side. So if you could, please tell us, you know, what your background is now specifically. And I believe, based on what we've been looking at, you're working for a couple of different organizations that do youth soccer, especially.
Yeah, so actually, I did step away entirely from soccer for, I would say, a year and a half, maybe, after I just needed it.
Sure, yeah.
I just needed completely to you know, to kind of get away a little bit. You know, it was a lot. I started playing very early. It's all I've done all my life. Started playing soccer in the streets when I was second grade. Mm-hmm. And I did this until I was 34 years old. So I did that. And then Florida Premier, the club that I work for right now, the boys reached out to me early. Actually, it was late 2020, maybe. And we, you know, we had very good conversations. I love the mentality, everything they were doing for the club, the way they approached the process, the way they think about the game, the passion, the players and everything just fit what I believed, you know, how things should be done. I did have some meetings prior that. This was right after I stopped, early 2019, with other local clubs. And then full respect for everyone, right? I just didn't align the way I thought about, you know, the game of soccer for youth players and just sure. the mentality in general. But I joined Florida Premier March 2021, and it's been an absolutely amazing experience since then. You know, we grew to be one of the, if not the biggest youth soccer club in Florida. We have amazing success with our youth soccer teams, performing really well on national level as well. We have players playing for the national youth national teams, mm-hmm. girls and boys side, multiple, you know, tons of players went to a very good college, you know, schools. And of course, Santi Castaneda, who, you know, is probably, that's our biggest goal, is to try and see if we can have one of our players sign a professional contract in Europe straight from our club, which finally happens. Just recently, you guys know probably Santi Castaneda, who also had a few games for the Rowdies, was not on professional contract yet. He was on a, I think, academy contract, it's called. I think he played a few games for the Rowdies, but he joins MSV Duisburg, and I don't know if you guys follow, he's been absolutely one of the top hot soccer hits, I would say, in third Bundesliga in Germany. He just scored a winning goal to win 1-0 in the last minute of the game for his club, and he has a lot of interest from recently as we speak, from second Bundesliga teams and even from a Bundesliga team. Right now, he's just 19 years old. And if you ask me why we do this, this is why we do it, you know, and this is all the pleasure we get to see those players succeed. And I'm trying to do my best with, you know, all the, you know, advices and tips directly with players, but also with the guys that we work to achieve more of that, right? Because at the end of the day, we want to produce players, make players that are going to be ready for professional soccer earlier than, you know, what we usually have in America. Now it's getting earlier and it's better, 16, 17, 18 years old. It's always good to see players signing professional contracts. But we're not talking only about the top players in the club, right? We just want to... I think soccer goes way beyond more than just the game, right? I think soccer teaches you discipline, to work hard. You know, I've just recently started to understand how much this game's given me in terms of just normal everyday life things, right? So we want to prepare these players, regardless if they play in the first team or on a lower level, to what life really is, right? To work hard, to be disciplined, work in a team, and go through the tough moments in life, which are going to happen. You know, they're still kids, but losing a game on Saturday for a nine-year-old and then winning a game next week and then losing again and then winning again, that's what life is, right? Up and downs. And we want to, you know, just teach them that, you know, through the game and through our amazing coaches, that we want to create just good people, right? With discipline, working hard, and facing challenges on the field, but off the field too. So this is what we stand for. That's why we say one club, one family. This is what Florida Premier is.
Yeah, I mean, obviously soccer does do all of those things. And at the same time, you know, it does provide us with this awesome entertainment that we all love so much. But yeah, especially at the youth level, it should be noted that it's not just something that people are, you know, doing to ultimately make it professionally, because the number of people who can make it professionally is such a small number. You know,
it's 1%.
Exactly, exactly. You 1%. Can't just focus on that. You have to focus on building up a whole person and making sure that they become, you know, someone who can live through all of those things that you just described. So I think that that makes a ton of sense. Now, with Florida Premier, I know that Santi Castaneda, he He did move to Duisburg, as you said, and I actually had just seen a couple of days ago that he scored that winning goal. It was, I mean, that's awesome. But I'm you know, super excited for him. If I could ask you a little bit about the organization that you have, or I guess the relationship that you have between the Rowdies at Florida Premier, because he played with the Rowdies, but as you said, it was on an academy contract and it wasn't necessarily a full first team contract. So does this mean that the Rowdies will take, you know, the best players from around the local academies, whether that be Florida Premier or, you know, a different one, maybe Clearwater Chargers or what have you, and then they can give them these academy contracts? If you could explain that, I think that would give our audience a little bit better of an idea of what the academy system is like specifically in this area.
So I really hope, first of all, that and I have a very good relationship with the Rowdies. Nico Castillo, you know, he's a good friend of mine who is pretty much in charge of the most of the things happening in the Rowdies. I hope they really spend time to go around and look at the talent in any club, right, in Tampa Bay, and give chance to those players, because these players, we have enough talent in Tampa Bay, I truly believe so, to be able to perform, you know, with the Rowdies. But sometimes when a player is 17 years old, let's say 16, 17, 18 years old, they're never going to be ready. You know, they become ready when they get introduced to that environment. So mm-hmm. they need to be given the chance to be part of that environment. Because when I signed my first contract at 17 years old, I wasn't ready to play really for the first time. But they, you know, they saw the potential in me, the drive, the hunger, the discipline. And when a young soccer player have that, I think the Rowdies should be able to risk a little bit more and commit to that player, because once they commit, I think then the relationship, then this player all of a sudden grows into a player who is more ready for that first team. You know, it's impossible to have a player really be ready to play for the Rowdies straight away at 16 or 17. But those 5-6 months sometimes training with the Rowdies, and maybe sitting on the bench for one game as an 18, 17 or 18 player, where he's not maybe, or maybe it's 6-0, he gets in and plays 5-10 minutes. This is huge moments. This is probably the connection. This is the most important thing for those talented players, young players, where they actually mature the most. But they have to be given those opportunities. If not, you know, it's hard. And I think this is why it's harder for most youth soccer players in America in general, because we have 3-4 million people living in Tampa Bay, right? We have one professional club.
Right.
Imagine how many kids play. So there's not enough professional clubs for the amount of people that live here in terms of soccer, right? Back home in Plovdiv, the city I was born, there's 300,000 or 350,000 people living there, and you have 4 professional clubs. Mm-hmm. So you can imagine, you know, right, the difference. So I think the Rowdies can be a little bit more braver and give a little bit more chances to those players, because it's not only one Santi Castaneda. He is an amazing player, but we have, you know, a few more players coming from underneath, on showing up on the map that, you know, maybe they can be given a little bit more trust, for them to become players where, you know, on the business side too, right? You sign up a young player, you give him a few changes, all of a sudden he's worth more, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe, you know, then if he's performing well, maybe there's an interest from Europe or from I don't know, even MLS, where they, you know, from business standpoint, they're able to negotiate something with the Rowdies, where the Rowdies sell the player, you know, they may make money. I know we're not here to talk about money, but this is part of professional soccer, right?
Yeah.
Right. And give the opportunity to this player. So going back to academy contracts, I don't want to be, I may, you know, made some little mistakes, but academy contract is not necessarily a professional contract. So the player doesn't get paid. And also he can still go to college. Once you sign a professional contract, I think you can't go to college anymore, right? So no more college for Santi Castaneda. yeah, but that's pretty much it. And the way, I mean, the way I honestly see, again, I'm speaking up on straight, right, where I'm come from. To me, academy contract is not full commitment on the club, you know, side. I'd rather, you know, have maybe a player training more longer time, and if he's good enough, I give him a professional contract, or I don't, you know. This is what I would do, right? Mm-hmm. But academy contract allows him to actually play, right, for the club, but he's not getting paid,
right?
So yeah,
that's a really interesting dynamic too, because that's a world that over here at Georgetown's a very good soccer school. So even some of my great friends, like, they don't even really know how that works, and they were very careful about back at their, you know, local clubs, whether that was for like Columbus or the Red Bulls. Like, the academy contract system is a very weird thing to navigate. But
yeah,
I think James and I very much appreciate your insight on the world of youth soccer in Tampa Bay, because I think it's something we've talked about a lot before. It's kind of like,
well, put involving... it this way too. Yeah,
yeah.
Sorry to interrupt you, but if Santi was in a professional contract, then I think Radis would have had a say when he went to Duisburg.
Right.
Right. Otherwise, right, they have no say. So right, if he was on a professional contract, it's different, right? Then MSC Duisburg needs to really, negotiate that with them.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I think, again, that's something that James and I have talked about, is kind of where the Rowdies are trending in terms of involving more like young talent as a whole. And I think that conversation should definitely be including more of that local talent. It's been great to see, like, you know, players like Tate Johnson and Santi Castaneda at least be involved in some way, shape, or form.
I believe it needs to be more guys.
Right. More. Yeah, and I think more. That's a really great conversation.
You know, I love my club, the Rowdies, right? I love my club, Florida Premier, too. The Rowdies has like 10 times less pressure than European clubs. There's still some pressure about performing, right? But if those clubs over there, they can commit those young players and they trust them, we're talking about like big names. You have fans that are literally wanting to destroy you if you're not doing well. Yeah, that's how, right, Europe is, guys.
Yeah.
Especially Eastern Europe, where I'm coming from. You know, sometimes you have more time. I'll tell you some other crazy stories. You know, sometimes you can't leave the stadium if the fans are too mad at you, right? And they believe in those 17, 18, 19-year-old kids, and we can't hear. I mean, you know?
Yeah.
I think there's also, we don't have relegation. Let's be straight honest about that too. Right?
Yeah.
So those teams over there, they have all those insane fans, probably in this crazy owner, and maybe like really, you know, threatened to be relegated or whatever, and they can still commit those players,
yeah,
and play with, you know, believe those players, those young 17, 18 year, 18, 19 years old, and we can't, right? And I'm not talking just the Rowdies. I think in general in America it needs to be a little bit, not a little bit, much more than that.
Sure.
This is how it's going to, this is what's going to make better. This is like, there's enough talent in America. Like, kids in Europe or South America, they're not more talented, but they were believed in more. From
interesting,
you know, and so there's this thing going on within the 17-year-olds. Once you're almost getting done with youth soccer, I'm gonna make the first team. I'm gonna, you know, so you get this drive, you know. The young players don't have this enough here, so they almost already started thinking about college, which is not bad. Some players that go to college, right, they're more talented than what I was. So they're now willing to take the risk, because they're going to take, this, you know, the call, which is, again, this is very good. But it needs to come from the professional clubs.
Mm-hmm.
There's a thin line right there at this age where this is the next thing you're really looking up to. And you keep this insane drive till the end of your youth soccer career, right? That's going to help you make this... potentially making those local professional team, but the way kids see it here in Tampa Bay younger, they feel like it's extremely almost impossible to get the Rowdies. They shouldn't feel, kids around the area shouldn't feel like that.
Interesting.
They should believe a little bit more that this is achievable, right?
Okay. Yeah.
This is achievable. And this comes from really the mentality of the local soccer club, regardless what area we are, believing more into the youth soccer players, local soccer players.
Yeah.
And I think this would bring, this was always so important for the, to have the local boys in the teams over there in Europe, right? South America. This is going to bring probably more fans, more passion to the local soccer, professional soccer team. You know, when you have those, you know, 2-3 players, maybe even 4 from the local youth soccer clubs, and then really believed and, you know, start one of the players a few games. It's not going to be the end of the world.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Cool. So, well, there you go. If there's one takeaway to take away from this podcast, and I'm sure somebody at the Rowdies are listening to this, James. Is sign the kids, let the kids play, right?
Yeah, I will say
they have to deserve it first, right?
That's true. So that's true. But sure, Georgie, I will say you are preaching to the choir on that. I think that Carlos and I talk about this more than most podcasts. But yeah, I would definitely love to see the Rowdies bring up a lot more academy players and, you know, get them involved. And Georgie, I know we've run a little bit over the time frame we asked you for, but ask you one very quick question here. On the girls' side, have you heard anything from the Tampa Bay Sun at this point, or just not yet? I mean, you know, that's a very quick question.
I know, as much as probably you guys know, I know Denise Brown is going to be, you know, the coach, and which is a very good friend of mine, amazing fashion, you know, amazing coach. You know, I hope this goes really well. You know, we support the game of soccer. We know we don't split in women's or men's side, right? Everything that's going on locally, I think the whole sports community, we should support it as much as possible as we can, right? Because we have, I know for a fact, in Tampa Bay Sun, there's a lot of very knowledgeable, good people involved in it. And I wish them nothing but success. And I hope this blows up and it's amazing. And we make sure we as a Club Florida Premier, we do our best to support everything. You know, especially when it comes to soccer, we're crazy about soccer. So, you know, we'll make sure we're up there and supporting strong all these, you know, brave endeavors, because it's not easy, right? They're starting from almost from scratch, but I'm sure the people, like I said, the people involved, they're going to do an amazing job.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we're all hoping for that too. Well, Carlos, you got anything else?
No, just a quick moment of thanks for you, Georgie, for taking some time off here to chat with us. Yeah, we could go on for, I think, forever asking you questions about your career. I have so many questions about your time in Eastern Europe too. Like, I've always wondered, like, what, you know, playing one of those big rivalry games between, you know, like Levski Sofia and then CSKA, stuff like that. But
it's,
I think,
scary.
You can save
them. I'll let you know. I can describe with one word. It's,
there you go. It's scary. There you go. Yeah, but again, just thanks for chatting with us. And I do think this provides some really great insight too, especially like newer Rowdies fans as well, who might have kind of hopped on 2016, 2017, 2018. I think it provides a lot more insight and background to kind of how the club got to where it is today, really. So I appreciate your time, Georgie.
I appreciate you guys too. And I want to wish all the best of luck of any for any, you know, youth soccer club, not only soccer club, but all the sports franchises, professional in the area. I think we have something amazing in Tampa Bay. We should be very proud of all the sports and everything that's going on. And best of luck and amazing, successful 2024 for everybody and you guys too.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we appreciate the boost there. But as you said, sports are, you know, it's supposed to be something that brings everyone together. So definitely, I do think, like you said, we have something very cool and very good going on in the Tampa Bay region, whether that's for the Rowdies, the Sun, any other sport. And, you know, hopefully all the kids that are playing can, you know, take something out of it, whether that's a professional career or just a very good fandom. We definitely support all of that. So again, thank you very much, Georgie, for sticking with us for almost 40 minutes now. We appreciate it so much. And it's been very good.
Appreciate it, guys.
All right. Thank you so much. Now, thank you everyone for listening to that. I think that it was a great interview that Carlos and I got to participate in. I think that obviously, he is a wealth of knowledge, Mr. Hristov, and I do hope that we can have him on here in the future so that we can talk about things other than just the academy side, which, as I said, I'm very interested in here in the United States, making sure that grows and succeeds. But he also has a ton of knowledge that is related to other parts of the soccer world. And, you know, I am deeply interested in that as well. So I would really like to have him on where we, just like Carlos said, actually just have an Eastern European focused episode that'll probably be very unrelated to the Rowdies and maybe for an even more niche crowd than our usual just Rowdies crew, but that's perfectly fine. I think we have plenty of time in the off season to cover everything here. Either way, I think that his depth of knowledge on both sides of things, the local academy side and the non-local broader sphere of the sport is really great. He is someone that, you know, I could talk to him for hours and hours. And like I said, hopefully we will get the chance to do that. In the meantime, I will say thank you, listeners, for tuning in this week. We didn't have a ton to cover outside of our awesome, awesome interview. And again, I do want to thank Georgie Hristov for joining us. He didn't have to take his time to do that. You know, he's probably got a lot going on considering his academy details and everything that is going on with his schedule, but he still did, and that was really nice of him. Everyone who tuned in to listen to that, thank you for doing so as well. We obviously appreciate it when you do every week. Please tune in, if you can, as well to our RBLR Deportes show. They are going up, and Santiago is doing a great job each week, making sure that every Tampa Bay sports team also has Spanish language coverage, and I appreciate that as someone who's trying to learn Spanish. I am taking academic classes as well as the apps. So yeah, it is a helpful thing to have in my ear where I can go and listen to somebody talk about something that interests me, Tampa Bay sports, and try and learn Spanish at the same time. If you have any, maybe you just do speak Spanish as opposed to someone who's learning it like me. But yeah, if you would like to hear it in Spanish, now we have that available, and please tune in. The other one that I will ask you to tune into is our Tampa Bay Sun program for RBLR Sports. That is a cool new team going on the women's soccer side of things, and we would love to get more listenership there so that people are tuning in and getting all the news related to the Sun. Finally, I will say thank you, listeners, for tuning in overall, and we appreciate when you do. If you can, follow us on social media, whatever the social media is that you use. That can be Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, Threads, anywhere you are, we are too, at RBLR Sports. And I am on Twitter at RBLR James K. In the meantime, please also like and subscribe to our podcast. You can get the full experience on YouTube. If you don't want to do that and you just want to listen to us, not a problem. We are also on Spotify, the iHeartRadio app, Apple and Google Podcasts, and any other podcast platform that you want to listen to. So for another week in the bag and another great interview in the off season, this time with Georgie Hristov, come on you Rowdies.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.